Children's church is dismissed this time. And while they are getting up to leave, I invite you to turn again to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Last week, we changed our emphasis from the story of creation to the story of the church. However, what we discovered was is that both the story of creation and the story of church is really the story of Christ. That's what we discovered last week. Even today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, that was a day that we remember that when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, they spread their cloaks before him, and then when they ran out of coats and other kind of garments that they could lay on the ground, they began to cut palm branches, which is why we call it Palm Sunday, and laid them in front of him as he rode out of respect and honor. And then they began to shout out, "Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ." What they did on that day was to give all the glory and all the praise and all the honor to Jesus Christ. That's the story of the church. That's the story of creation. That's the story of our life. It is the story of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's where we have to come to the place and get a grip on this in the church once again. Is that we must come to the place to understand that it's all about Jesus Christ. We have lost that. We've allowed that to slip out of our hand. We have lost the importance of who we are tied together with Jesus Christ. But as we began looking at the church last week, what we looked at was that the story of the church was a story of designation. Now, I didn't use that word last week. I've come up with that word since last week. We simply asked a question. Who was the church? When Paul said, and we're going to read it in a second, when Paul called it the church, who was Paul referring to? What is that designation all about? What is the church? And the church, we found out in this case, was not referred to as a church or a group of churches, but the church. And we discovered that the Bible is very clear that the church is what some call the worldwide body of believers. Some call it the universal church. Some call it the invisible church. But they all mean the basic same idea. The church is all of God's believer worldwide and universal since the time the church began. All believers are a part of that church. Regardless of the nationality, regardless of the color of skin, regardless of the language spoken, regardless of background, all believers all over this world, and since the time the church began on the day of Pentecost, we all make up the one true church. Jesus Christ has made us one. Now, you may not like that. You may not like that. You may not like being kin to someone who might happen to be Methodist or Presbyterian or a Pentecostal, you may not like the fact that you are one with someone who may be black or red or yellow. You may not like the fact that you are one with someone who speaks a different language than you do. You may not like the fact that you have become with one who maybe has a background far different than your background may be. You may not like the fact that you are one with somebody who is not from the Great Swamp area. You may not like that fact, but let me tell you, get over it. Let me tell you that when you became a child of God, you became one with all believers in all places, in all colors, in all backgrounds, of all times, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are one, and we need to start acting that way. Jesus made us one. So today I want us to notice that the story of the church, though, is not only a story of designation, but it is a story of description and a story of dominion. Let's begin reading in our scriptures in Colossians chapter 1, and as we have been through this whole series, starting with verse 15, listen to the Word of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, verse 18 is the verse that we focused upon last week and this week. And verse 18 says, "And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." And God's people said, amen to the reading of His Word. The church, it is a story of designation, and that designation is that God called His people the church, and that church is all God's believers from all times that He's called out to be His people, set aside for His purpose. He made them the church, the ones from the past, the ones in the present, and the ones who will be in the future. But secondly, I want us to notice that the church is not only a story of designation, but a story of description. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, right here in these verses that we've read, in verse 18, He gives us a description, a particular description for the church. And what is that description? He calls the church what? The body. He calls the church the body. Again, verse 18, "And He is the head of the body, the church." John MacArthur, that great preacher out in California, said these words, "There are many metaphors used in Scripture to describe the church. It is called a family, a kingdom, a flock, a vineyard, a building, and a bride. But the most profound metaphor, one having no Old Testament equivalent, is that the church is called a body." It is the most used reference to the church in the New Testament. It is described as a body. And there are two places in which it is described primarily as a body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and all of the book of Ephesians. I do want us to look, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And we talked about this verse last week, but notice what he says right there. He very clearly describes the church in this same way. He says in chapter 12 and verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into what? Into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." And so I want you to understand that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the believers, on that day the Spirit of God also took all believers and baptized them into, that means placed them into, the body of Christ. He that day started and birthed into existence the church, His body. Through the Spirit of God, we are placed into the church, His body. So I want you to understand today that the Bible is clear that Jesus wants us to know that primarily above everything else, the church represents a body like what we have. Now, I want you to understand something that I'm going to go ahead and give you my next point, because the two points go hand in hand together, and then I'll pull them together and to share with you what I mean. And the third point of my message is, not only is the church a story of designation, not only is the church a story of a description, but third, the church is a story of dominion. Now, what I mean by that is this. Understand something. A body is of no value without what? Without a head. A body cannot function. A body cannot do anything. It cannot carry out the work it needs to carry out. It cannot think. It cannot accomplish anything without a head. And so I want to share with you, that is what I mean by the church is a story of dominion. It has a head. The body has a head. And the head is none other than whom? Jesus Christ. Now you remember I said that the story of creation is the story of Christ, and the story of the church is the story of Christ. That's what it's all about. We are described as a body, but the most important part to the body is the head. That's where the dominion and the authority and the control comes from, and that is Jesus Christ. You need to understand something. You might go around thinking, "I'm somebody." Well, it's okay to think that, as long as you understand that the only reason why you are somebody is because Jesus Christ made you who you are. Jesus Christ is the one who placed you into His body. He's the one who saved you and made it possible to be a part of the family of God. And therefore, because of Him, because He's in control, because He's on the throne, because He's the head, because of Him alone, that's why I'm somebody. Amen? He is the head. He has dominion. And the church cannot function apart from Jesus Christ. Listen again to what John MacArthur said. He said, "The church is a body, and Christ is the head of the body." He said, "This concept is not used in the sense of the head of a company, but rather looks at the church as a living organism, inseparably tied together by the living Christ. He controls every part of it and gives it life and direction. His life is lived out through all the members. and he provides the unity of the body. He energizes and coordinates the diversity within the body, a diversity of spiritual gifts and ministry. He also directs the body mutually as the individual members serve and support each other. Understand something. In other words, what he's saying is that when you want to understand what your role and what your place in the body is, you need to go to the head. It is the head that will tell your body what to do, what your place is, what your responsibility is. You need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has dominion and authority, and seek from Him above what your purpose in the body is. That's what he's saying. He's also saying for you to be able to carry out your responsibility, not only do you need to seek Him to find out what your role in the body is, but you need to seek Him to get the power that you need to carry out the role that He wants you to do within the body. He is the head. He has dominion over His body. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We tend to think that it's okay for us to control the results of our own life. But I want to say to you, you got it all wrong if that's what you're thinking. You've got it all wrong if you're thinking, man, I'm going to set the destiny for my life. I was created and made by God, and then He set me loose and let me go, and He depends upon me to take care of everything else. And I want to say to you, if that's your opinion, then you don't understand one thing about the Bible. The Bible says He created you and He saved you, but not let you loose and let you go and let you figure it all out. No, He created you and He saved you and He placed you in the body so that you would do exactly what He wanted you to do and nothing else. Nothing short of that. He placed you in His body so that you would carry out His work, His deeds, bring glory and honor to His name, and magnify and exalt His person. And if you just think, well, I can do that all on my own, I can go out and carry it on out and live my life, and God's going to be pleased with me because He let me go. No, He didn't let you go. He put you into the body of Christ. He put you into a body. Let me ask you a question. How many of you today would be real happy if we invited you down here and we pulled out a chainsaw or some meat cutter or something of that nature, and we're going to say to you today, look, you can do fine without this leg? How many, who would volunteer to be that first person? Do I have any volunteers? Okay. Because I'm telling you, if you've ever seen Wallace with a chainsaw, you don't want to be near him. Now it's just as silly to think that you want your body to do without any of his parts, and some of us tragically have had to lose parts of our bodies that we wish we didn't have to. We wish we had them all back, all together. Don't we? We wish we did. And for any of us to think that, man, I'd love to be without any of these parts of my body, I want to say to you, there's not a one of us that wants to miss any part of our body. We love and appreciate it, and it hurts us when we lose any part of it. And so what do you think that says about the church? When you have the idea that I've been created and God saved me and then He let me go and let me loose so I can just go do my own thing, you've missed the whole concept of the body. You are a part of a body. And the body is a whole unit. And God wants to hold that whole unit together so that every part is functioning together and creates that balance so that the church can do the ministry God wants it to do in the world. When you and I, each one, are carrying out our function, that helps to create that balance in the body so that the church is effective in the world. When we are letting Jesus be the head of the church, directing us, guiding us, and leading us, then we will amount to something for the glory and honor of God in this world. But when we think that it's just a loose thing and we can do it any old way we want to and God will be pleased, we will not be an effective force. We must understand that He is the head of the church and we are the body and we are its arms and we are its legs and we are its feet and we are its knees and the list goes on. And God needs each part so that He can do His part in the world. You see, you need to understand something. This one writer put it this way. He said that the church is a living organism composed of members joined vitally to one another. The church is the means by which Christ carries out His purpose and performs His work. And that the union that exists between Christ and His people is most intimate and real. And together, they constitute one living unit, each in a sense being incomplete without the other. You can't do your work without your body. And the church cannot do its work in the world without its body. And you are the body. But you are tied together to the head. And if you're going to do the work of God in this world, you must understand, number one, that you must be in His body by coming to Jesus and letting Him save you and place you in the body. And then you must understand, because He's the head, you must seek Him and ask Him to show you your place in the body of service. And then you must ask the head for the power to carry that out. And then you must ask Him to help you to work together with your fellow brothers and sisters so that we can be a team together to do the work of God in the world under His leadership. So I want to ask you a question. Do you see yourself as a part of that body? Do you see yourself as someone who has a ministry in that body? Do you see yourself as tied to Christ and understand that He is the one who guides you and shows you what your purpose in this world is and in this body? Do you seek His power to give you the strength to carry this all out? I want to read a few scriptures. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Just back up a little ways. Ephesians is not far from Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Well, let me start with 21. That's good too. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. There He puts it as plain and as bold and as clear as you'll ever read it or ever hear it. That He has, my friends, He is the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything and in every way. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. It was He, talking about Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the work of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. For from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futile of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now that what happens to those who are not in the body. You see, but those who are in the body, they have one purpose. They understand that it is Christ that holds them together. It is Christ who's glued them together. It is Christ who's ahead over them. It is Christ who empowers them. It is Christ who instructs them. And it is Christ who ultimately they're going to become like. And it is Christ whom we must, as a body, glorify, magnify, and exalt together in this world. I want to ask you a question. Does this body here at Great Swamp Baptist Church, does this body in any way look like a body under the leadership of Jesus Christ? Now, you know, you make a mistake. You make a mistake when you think I'm the head of Great Swamp Baptist Church. I'm not. You make a mistake when you think this group of people sitting down here is the head of Great Swamp Baptist Church. You're not. Even though we have a democracy form of government, you are not the head of this church. I am not the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And the question must be asked, do we in any way, shape, form, or fashion, do we display to the world that we are a group of people who understand that we are part of a body together and we are together to serve Jesus Christ and He's our head? And He's leading us. Does the world see that? Does the world know that? Do they know that about you? Our prayer must be that that's exactly what takes place. I mean, ultimately, God's going to make you and me like Jesus. But it ought to be happening now. And as a body of believers, we need to start acting like people that are under the leadership of Jesus Christ, carrying out His work in this world for His glory and honor. Are you there? Am I there? Are we acting like He's in control? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You right now to declare that the story of creation and the story of the church is the story of Jesus Christ. You used Him, Father, as the instrument and the means to bring creation about. You also used Him to bring to life the church. We are a body. And we happen to be a body that has a head, and the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that Great Swamp Baptist Church, that the individuals in this room, that they will begin to see and understand that they're not a lone ranger trying to serve you, that they are not responsible to just let loose and let go and just go do everything on their own. Rather, they and I and all of us are responsible to work together as a team, understanding that we need each other and that most of all we need to let you lead us, and that the world would see that we're not controlled by me, nor by the body, nor by the deacons, nor by the teachers. We're controlled by Jesus Christ. And we work together for the purpose of doing your work in this world. Lord, I just pray that your people today would come forward and surrender and submit to be who you want them to be in the body, and to work together with people even that they don't like, people even of different nationalities and different colors and different languages. That together we'll be your body under your leadership to impact the world for Christ. And Lord, I pray today if there's anyone who's never ever been born again into the body of Christ, they've never repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus, may this be the day that they allow you to baptize them spiritually into the body of Christ. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And we ask you to work in this invitation for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll give our invitation. Listen to me. You need to come down this. Many of you need to walk down the aisles and kneel and pray and ask God to help you to be everything that He wants you to be for the body of Christ. To help you work with the body of Christ. To help you find your place in the body of Christ. To submit and surrender to the head of that body, Jesus Christ. And you need to come and kneel about that and pray about it. And some of you need to come to me and say, I'm ready to become a part of the body of Christ. Or some of you need to come and say, I'm ready to surrender. God's calling me to preach and be a pastor or a preacher or a missionary in the body of Christ. Or some of you to be teachers or to be ushers or whatever it may be. As we stand and as we sing, you come obedient to the Lord Jesus.
Let's stand together and sing Worthy of Worship.
praise the Lord, and God's people said, Amen. You know, let me just share with you that one of the most famous verses in the Bible, as most of you can quote, and Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 16, he said unto Peter, he said, "You are Peter, and upon this church, upon this rock, excuse me, I will do what? I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build whose church? My church. And the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the gates of hell has made some dents into the church? He's made some dents. It's made some dents. But understand something. It'll never overcome the true church of Jesus Christ. He's the head of it. He holds it together, and he's going to keep it together, and Satan and all of hell will not be able to defeat his church. Amen and hallelujah. And so you and I need to rejoice that while we're in the church, it's going to get tough. Because in this world, Jesus said we would face persecution, just like he did. He said it would be rough, but he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I will sustain you through it, and I'll see you all the way to glory. My church will survive the gates of hell even. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We overcome because of the head of the church." You know, I thank God that he's in dominion over us. Woo! Praise his name. All right, we're going to have our closing prayer. Now, let me just go ahead and announce this. I know that the children's church, they're doing their egg hunt, so they may still be in the midst of it. Give them time and let them enjoy it for a little bit, and you might go out there and help them find that golden egg and see what surprise is in it. But they are out in the midst of doing that, so I just want to let you know where the kids may be if they're not in their usual place, okay? All right, we'll have this closing prayer. And tonight, 6 o'clock, we have our evening, real informal but enjoyable time of Bible study, prayer, singing, just a great time. Come on and be a part of that. We have a wonderful time doing that. Next Sunday morning, what time is our sunrise or sunup service? 8 o'clock, okay? Come on, you can be very informal, or you can be dressed up, whatever you want to do, and breakfast right after that. And then we'll have all the other activities, and we've got a great cantata, excited about it, and can't wait you to be a part of that. Okay? All right. We'll have our closing prayer, and you have a great afternoon in Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Father, indeed, we just realize you are worthy of worship and our praise. Lord, we thank you for what you've done this morning. We thank you for your Spirit being among us. We thank you that we can leave here convinced that you will leave with us and be in us and work through us. Lord, as we go, may we realize that we carry Jesus with us. Where we go, Jesus goes. What we do, Jesus does. We may well come in contact with someone this week. The only Jesus they see is where we bring him. We thank you for the honor and the opportunity and the awesome responsibility of that. Go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.